I don't knock it over, then it won't be distracting. All right. If you're good, if you're glad to be in the house, Lord, this morning, give me an amen.
Amen.
I tell you what, that's a fun day. You get food, and then some games and stuff, and you get the Word of God all at the same time. A couple weeks ago, now I'm going to tell you this, but don't tell anybody. All right. A couple weeks ago, you probably put this on the internet, so then everybody's going to know. A couple weeks ago, we were in New York, and I preached a mother-daughter banquet for the second time for this church. There's 150 ladies at this thing, and this is the second time I've done it for them. That's not something I normally do. It's not something normally guys do, you know? And I thought, why in the world do you? I remember I was preaching for him, and he said, well, you know, you're not in town a whole lot, and I want to get you as often as I can get you. I'm like, okay. He said, can you come in on Saturday? Well, I never asked why, and I didn't pay attention to the calendar, you know? And he said, I get there, and he said, yeah, I want you to preach your mother-daughter banquet. I said, what? I said, I don't know what that, they're not going to want to hear me. So that was like 5 years ago. Well, he got me again because I called him. He said, you know what? This is the only time I have open. Can you come? I'm like, okay. I didn't look at the calendar again. It was Mother's Day. I'm like, and he's like, by the way, since you're here, can you do Mother's Day? So they did a jungle theme for Mother's Day in honor of me being in Africa. Their theme for Mother's Day was a jungle. I said, well, that would kind of go along with being a mother, amen? You know? So we showed up to church, and my boys are like, Dad, we're not going in there. They said, that's your job. I'm not going to no mother-daughter banquet. So then the pastor told them there was food, and then they decided it was okay. Thank you for praying for us. I told Sunday school that I'll be in Africa the whole month of July, have a group of 22 going, plus 4 or 5 other smaller groups all converging at the same time in Africa. A lot of scheduling, a lot of moving around, a lot of getting on planes, smaller planes, boats, motorcycles, jeeps. So would you do me a favor? Just pray for that, would you? I mean, the fact that you can go do something like that and come back and everybody still stay alive, it's only because of God. So a lot of pieces that have to go together, if you would just pray for that. Okay, this morning, take your Bibles and go to Acts chapter 5. I appreciate your pastor. When I'm on the road, oftentimes, I know he's somebody that I can call if I'm driving and we have a good time talking on the phone. He sends me texts on Sunday morning, oftentimes encouraging me or throughout the day. I really appreciate his friendship. You're blessed to have a good pastor. Now I got to find my notes. There we go. Got them. All right. I'm ready to go. Let's pray. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for this morning in this church, Lord. It's got an incredible heritage in you. Now, Lord, as folks here are faithful and they love you. Lord, I pray that you would just help us this morning as we visit you a little bit from the Bible, that you'd help us to understand another part about who you are and to rightly, Lord, look at the things in the Bible the way we should. This morning, we're going to look at grace. Father, I pray you'd help us to leave here with a better view of what that is and how to apply it in our lives. Jesus, thank you for being so kind, loving, and forgiving. I pray that you would help us, that you would convict us where conviction's needed, and help us where help is needed. And Lord, again, thank you for what you did on the cross. We ask this in your precious name. Amen. In Acts chapter 5, if you look with us at this story here, in verse 1 it says this, Acts chapter 5, but a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira his wife sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? When it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came on all them that heard these sayings. Now, you know, immediately you're wondering, what in the world does grace have to do with this particular story? I'm just going to move this out a little bit more. There you go. You know, what does grace have to do with that? So you have this story here, Ananias and Sapphira. You're familiar with it. They had sold a piece of property, and they had wanted to give some of it. Well, they on their own sat down together, and they wanted to appear like they were important in church. And what they said was, let's go and we'll tell them that we're giving all of the money, but we're just going to keep back some of it. Now, the problem is they could have kept all of it. There is no mandate for them to do this. So when they went to church and Peter asked them, did you sell this land? And he said, yes. He said, did you give it all to the church? At that moment, he could have said, well, we had talked about that, but we decided we're not going to do that. You know, but we did give this portion. That had been fine. But what they said was, yes, we gave all of it. And immediately the Bible says that he fell over dead. Well, what's important here is the part that says when that happened, great fear came on the whole church. So what would be the reasoning for that to take place? Why would God have that happen in a church service? The guy says, yes, I gave all the property, and boom, down he goes and he's dead. The effect that God was after not only was something that Ananias and Sapphira did wrong, but it's more than important in helping people understand in the congregation that God is God and he's holy and we shouldn't lie to him. So let me ask you a question. When you read that, well, before we do, let's go and finish the rest of the story, okay? And you guys pretty much know how it goes, but it says here in verse 7, and it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in, and Peter answered unto her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yes, for so much. And Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thine husband are at the door, and they shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. Now look at this in verse 11. And great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. So here's a question. Do you think the people in that church lived such a godly Christian life that they had no problems of their own? Okay? Let me rephrase it. How many of you this week, we talked about this last time I was here, how many of you this week went the whole entire week without sinning? Anybody do that? How many of us would be willing to admit, all right, if you were honest with God, are we not guilty of the exact same thing that Ananias and Sapphira was guilty of? You know, we all have lied to the Holy Spirit. How many of you told God you're going to do something and you didn't do it? I mean, everybody here can raise their hand, all right? So when we look at what Ananias and Sapphira did and what caused them to die, we have to admit to ourselves that we're no better. Here's the question, Pastor. Then why don't we drop dead in a church service? What was the effect that God was after by Ananias and Sapphira dropping dead in the middle of a church service? Could you imagine what the invitation would be like? Okay? Immediately, people are going, whoa, better not mess with God. I mean, you didn't need to play 5 hymns of invitation that day. I mean, whoop, to the altar they went, because you know what everybody's doing? Everybody's going, whoa. They died for that. And he knows what's inside of my heart. I'm in trouble. And what we're going to look at this morning, we're going to look at grace. And you know what God was showing them there? God was showing the rest of the congregation grace. Because to be honest, all of us deserve to drop dead in front of God. All of us do. And what God was showing them that day in that congregation is grace. And what he was hoping to accomplish through what happened to Ananias and Sapphira, that the rest of them would correct course, that the rest of them would start to follow God, not because they dropped dead in church, but because they could have. And because the fact they could have, that they should have, that they are guilty enough to have that same thing happen to them that happened to Ananias and Sapphira, the people left in the pew can go, wow. Now look, I did not get saved until my second semester in Bible college. Although I grew up in a Christian environment, I was not a good kid at all. I mean, I did some things that's bad. When I get to heaven, I'm going to ask you to leave the room when it comes my turn. All right, if I know you, you guys go get a drink of water, would you? Because I've not always lived right. And I can tell you this, in Bible college, I didn't get saved till my second semester. We had all kinds of rules. You couldn't get 6 inches within a girl. You had to be home in your dorm at 10 o'clock at night. I mean, the rules were like boom, boom, boom. And you know what? To be honest with you, I did things that if they found out about it, I could have been kicked out of school. No question. And then I'm in the dorm and I hear so-and-so got kicked. There's a senior that got kicked out of college because he copied somebody's paperwork. And they caught him and they kicked him out of school. You know what I'm thinking? If they find out what I did. Okay, question. Why didn't I get caught? What was the reason of God allowing me to finish school? So remember when Solomon had that relationship with all those strange women and God said, don't do that? Because if you do, they're going to lead you astray. And remember how that when God corrected him, he went to Solomon and said, hey, what you're doing is not right. He said this, you do not have the same heart that David your father had. And I'm thinking, whoa, that's kind of a bad illustration. You're going to bring up my father, the one that had the affair and had somebody murdered. You're going to bring him up to correct me. I'm just looking at that going, that don't make any sense, Pastor. We're humans, right? I mean, immediately we're thinking, you're going to use him to correct me. Why would God use David to correct Solomon in his behavior? Because the key word in that correction is this. God said, you do not have the same heart that David your father had. Because, Pastor, when David did wrong, David was convicted. Read Psalms 51. When David did wrong, it broke his heart. It grieved him. And what God was saying to Solomon is this. Solomon, this isn't even bothering you. There's no conviction. You're not even grieved. So what you see there, the reason why I deserved to get kicked out of college. The reason why I didn't. God can see your heart. You know what he was doing? He was giving me grace. And grace is something that should never be taken advantage of. It is extremely special. You know, I was, Brother Charles will get a kick out of this, and so will Brother Wesley. I was in New Orleans. I was working. A lady came to church, and her car wasn't working right. She asked me if I'd go out there and I'd try to fix her car. Well, if you know me, I'm not a mechanic. So I went out there trying to fix this lady's car. I popped the hood. I leaned over the car. I'm dressed just like this. I'm looking at her car trying to figure out what was wrong with it. It's making noise. I look down and my tie is bouncing off the fan blade. You know, I mean, the belt going like this. I looked at that and went, whoa. Whew, I had the fear of God put in me. You know why? Because I'm looking at my tie bouncing off the belt like that. And I'm fast forwarding the tape. This thing getting, whoom, you know, and I was like, oh my word. You know what I did? I put the tie inside my shirt. Do you know why? Because I was given grace. Amen. Now, to continue that would not be grace. That would be stupidity. Okay? All right. So now when I go, I'm thinking, man, that was, you know what that was? That was God saying, hey, dummy, you better look at this tie because in just a minute you're going to realize it. I'm trying to help you out ahead of time. May I say what happened in this church service was the same thing that happened to me under the hood of that car. God was saying, hey, Dave, to be honest, you should die in here too today. but I'm not going to do that to you. I'm going to give you grace. And then what I should do with that grace is then take my tie and put it in my shirt. Not to continue on the same way I was doing before. Guys, you ever use a chainsaw when you're out there cutting down trees? Then you go in the house, you sit down, you look down at your pants, and you got this big old line across your leg. It didn't hit the skin, but it tore the jeans. You're looking at it like, how'd that happen? Then you think, ooh, that was real close. Okay, so now what you do in your mind is you say, boy, I need to operate that chainsaw a little differently because I could have ought to change my behavior. And that's what God was saying with this whole story. So let's just go on and look a little bit more. If you would go to Genesis chapter 20. Genesis chapter 20. We just got a few of them and then I'll be done. Genesis chapter 20. And I want you to look here at this story. Genesis chapter 20 and verse 1. Genesis chapter 20 and verse 1. And Abraham journeyed from thence toward the south country and dwelled between Kadesh and Shur and sojourned in Gerar. And Abraham said of Sarah his wife, she is my sister. And Abimelech, king of Gerar, set and took Sarah, because Abraham said it was his Sarah. So he's thinking, okay, she's available. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, behold, thou art but a dead man, for the woman which thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife. But Abimelech had not come near her and said, Lord, wilt thou slay also a righteous nation? Said he not unto me, she is my sister. And she herself said, he is my brother, and the integrity of my heart and the innocency of my hand have I done this. And God said unto him in a dream, yea, I know that thou didst this in the integrity of thine heart, for I also withheld thee from sinning against her. Therefore suffered I thee not to touch her. So here's his story. Abraham shows up. He's afraid that if the king finds out that he's married to Sarah, that he'll take him. So he said to his wife, let's tell them you're my sister. Well, when they get there, Abimelech says, oh, you have a cute sister. All right, so I'd like to date your sister. So he goes and gets his sister. Well, God comes to him that night and says, buddy, you're a dead man. He's like, what did I do? He said, this is somebody's wife. And you know what he said? Wait a minute. In the innocency of my heart, he told me it was his sister. And God said, yeah, I know. No, get this. Abraham lied, and Abimelech's the one that got in trouble. Do you know what that is? The grace of God. Because the person who should have gotten in trouble that day was the one that lied. And that day, that whole thing could have gone very wrong. And the grace of God shows up and says, you know what, Abraham? You should be the one getting hammered here because you lied. I'm going to come in and I'm going to fix the situation, even though you don't deserve it. And you're going to come out here smelling like roses today because I love you. And may I tell you something? A good correction is, you know, God can cause this guy to fall on us when we do wrong. And yes, that would get our attention. But you know what's also just as powerful? It's when he doesn't and he should have. And what grace is intended to do is never to get us to be comfortable with sinning. Romans 6:1. Should we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Grace is never there for us to be comfortable with wrongdoing. Just the opposite. It's to be able to have a near miss and sit there and say, God, you could have and you didn't. All right, let's go to this story. You know the verse in the Bible, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Do you believe that verse? Do you believe that God is faithful? Do you believe he lies? Okay, all right. So that verse says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. All right, Pastor, I'm going to ask you a question. Have you reaped everything you've sown? Okay. Brother, purple shirt, I forget your name in the back. Have you reaped everything you've sown? No. Do you know what? I've not reaped everything I've sown. So what does that mean? Does that mean that that verse is broken? Does he not say, be not deceived, God is not mocked? Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. So if that verse is true the way I read it, you know what that means, Brother Jack? I got some rough years ahead of me. How old are you, preacher? So if he lives to be 80 in the next 40 years, he's got some reaping to do. Because he's got to reap everything he's sown, right? So if we go through life and we make it to the end and we have not reaped everything that we've sown, what is the reason for that? It's the grace of God. See, guys, God in heaven has got his hand on that seed. You know what he's saying? He's saying, Dave, if it's up to me, I'd rather just let this one stay in the ground. I don't have to let it grow. If you'll appreciate this grace, I can leave it right there. But if you don't, I can let it grow. May I tell you something? You just reflect back on your life about what you should reap, and there'll be a revival at this altar before we're done. Because if you're like me, you will understand that God's been extremely kind to you and very loving and very patient. And he's had 100 reasons to let that grow, preacher. And he chooses not to. And that's grace. And when I realize that, that should be a great corrector of my behavior. Not because I got hammered, but because I didn't. So let's go look at another story. Let's go to Judges chapter 16. Let's see, Judges chapter 16. Okay, Judges chapter 16. This is one that I've always looked at and thought, boy, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Judges chapter 16, verse 1. Then went Samson to Gaza and saw there a harlot and went in unto her. Well, you know who Samson is. Samson, God gave incredible strength to Samson. God's hand was on Samson. God chose him from the time he was born and told his mom he was going to use him. And Samson here, he had gone into this town and he had actually gone into a harlot. And it was told to Gazite, saying, Samson has come hither, and they compassed him in and laid wait for him all night in the gate of the city, and were quiet all the night, saying, in the morning when it is day, we shall kill him. And Samson lay till midnight, and arose at midnight, and took the doors of the gate of the city, and the two posts, and went away with them, bar and all, and put them upon his shoulders, and carried them up to the top of a hill that is before Hebron. So, here's the story. Samson goes into this city and he sees a harlot. He's actually in her room. In the middle of the night, they come to get him. He gets up and he goes out. And if you study the history of how big they say these gates are, they're huge. No human being in his own strength could take those gates down. He gets up, he goes over to those gates, he pulls them off the wall, and he carries them up a hill and drops them. Who gave him the power to do that? After he slept with a harlot. Does that make any sense to you, Pastor? Now look, I'm not condoning that. Don't try that at home, huh? I mean, that doesn't mean his behavior was okay. Let me ask you something. What happened later on in Samson's life? See, there's another story where he's with another woman he shouldn't have been with. And this time he got hammered, preacher. Why? I wonder what would have taken place had Samson, when he got up to that hill and he dropped that gate, I wonder if he looked down at his arms and said, God, why did you let me do that? I was in the process of sinning. And you could have let me die back there. Yet when I needed you, you were still there. He should have hit his knees on the top of that hill. Not because he got in trouble, but because he didn't. And that should have done something inside of him. And maybe the rest of the story would have been a little bit different. But what you saw there, isn't God tolerating sin? God was not okay with his behavior at all. Not even for a second did God think that that behavior was okay. What you have is his grace. When I was in Bible college, I was coming down an exit. There was a Florida boy living in Michigan trying to survive Detroit weather, right? Coming down an exit, hit a patch of ice, did this. Foom, 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 foom. 4 or 5 times. Finally got stopped heading the other direction. When that happened, I thought I was going to die. You know, I mean, my heart's pounded out of my chest. I got an overload of adrenaline, needed to go to rehab. There was so much adrenaline in me. You know, I didn't just stick it in the drive after that and go, oh, that was fun. I sat there for 15 minutes trying to get my blood pressure down. My heart's going out of my chest. Called my mom, told her I loved her. What happened? I almost died. So because of that, when I drove away from there, I put my hazards on, I grabbed the wheel with both hands, and I went slow. Why? I appreciated the fact that I didn't die in Detroit in the middle of wintertime. And therefore, my behavior reflected that, and my action changed. And grace is one of the greatest things you'll ever be given. It's never intended for you and I to be comfortable with our sin. Just because the Bible says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's in the Bible, preacher. But that never means that I should ever be okay when I have to use that. And when I do, just the thought of his grace ought to change my behavior. Now, two places and then I'm done. If you would, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I want you to look here at verse 9. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 9. The Bible says this, talking about the Apostle Paul, for I am the least of the apostles. Why? Well, because he persecuted the church. It says that I am not meet to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. He said, out of all the apostles, I'm at the bottom. Why? Because I actually was an enemy of God. Okay? All right. Read on just a little bit more. But by the what? By the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was the grace that God can go to his enemy that's actively trying to destroy the church. And God had already worked in his heart. So that's the reason why he said, Paul, how come you're kicking against the pricks? That's like a farmer with a stick. He's poking the cows. The Holy Spirit's already been all over Paul. And he should have just taken Paul out on that road, but he didn't. He gave him grace. And Paul never forgot that grace. Goes on to say, but by the grace of God I am what I am. And his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. How many times has God not given you what you deserve? Many. Has it been in vain? Every time God goes to us and we know that he should take his hand off of every seed in that garden. He should do that. But because he doesn't, and he allows that to stay in the ground, and he doesn't give me, not only when we talk about getting what we deserve, we talk about whether we're going to go to hell or not. Well, that's just part of it. Not only is he not giving me hell, but he's also giving me grace down here and not giving me what I deserve down here. And what Paul is saying is he was given grace, and that grace was not wasted. He did something with what God did for him. Goes on to say this, was it not in vain? But it says, but I labored more abundantly than they all. He's saying, Pastor, he's saying he worked harder than any other of the apostles. Now that's kind of arrogant, right? He said, I labored more than all of them. And you hear that from somebody, you're like, who died and left you, King? You know, because you're thinking, you can't go around saying that, you worked harder than everybody else. But notice what he said after that. He said, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which is with me. He's saying, you know why I did that? It doesn't matter whether they left me for dead after they stoned me, or I got in a shipwreck, or I just kept going. And he said, it's not because I was some kind of super Christian. You know, he said, Pastor, I was just given a lot of grace. And I didn't want that grace to be in vain. Well, guys, you and I have been given a lot of grace. Truth be known, none of us would make it out of that church building with Ananias and Sapphira if God was to give us what we deserve. Question is, what have we done with that grace? One more, I'm done. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. The Bible says this, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, we then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. What a good verse to end this message on. He's talking to believers saying, we then as workers together with him beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. For he hath said, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation I have succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as ministers of God, in much patience in afflictions, in necessities in distress. And it goes on and mentions all of these things. And he says this. He says that he begs us not to let the grace of God be in vain. May I tell you something? And you guys have a good church and faithful, had a good crowd in Sunday school, and chances are there's a really good chance that probably most people in this room are saved. But may I tell you something? If anybody in this room after this message dies and goes to hell, it'll be a sad day. In fact, it's a sad day when anybody dies and goes to hell. Do you know why? Because that means what Jesus did on the cross for you was in vain. Because in spite of having your sins forgiven, you still went to hell. Because you never did anything with the grace. And the grace is this: Jesus died for you so that you wouldn't have to get what you deserve. And all you and I have to do is accept that. And that's what the Bible says. For by grace are you saved through faith. And every time you hear about somebody that's lost, that died, you just picture Jesus on the cross. He did everything he could, but he still loses people, Pastor. It's not his fault. We didn't do anything with the grace. If you're here and you're not saved, you can't get any more grace than what he gave you on the cross. And if you don't have peace in your mind that if you die that you're going to go to heaven, listen, we're all sinners. Every one of us in this room are sinners. We're all going to go to hell, every one of us. God's grace stepped in and said, you don't have to. I'll give you my son. He'll pay your payment. He's going to die on the cross for the whole world. And if you'll, by faith, put your trust in him, ask him to forgive you, and trust him as your Savior, he'll save you. You don't have to go to hell. And then, Christians, as we go through our lives, we will probably experience grace this week. What are you going to do with it? It's not designed for us to be comfortable with sinning. It's just as powerful as being punished for your sins. And if you think about it, probably even a little more. It's being overwhelmed with the fact that he should have, and he didn't. And grab a hold of him with both arms and don't let go. And tell him this morning, thank you for your grace. And then let that do something in your life, preacher.